So how many of you have been following events that have been happening at the UUA over the past few weeks? Sort of, a little bit, in depth, not at all. So it's a long story, but long story short, three top UUA leaders, the president, Peter Morales, and chief operating officer, Harlan Limpert, and my boss, Scott Taylor, director of congregational life, have resigned in the past 6 weeks over a controversy about racism in UUA hiring practices, especially in senior positions. I have taken to describing the controversy over the hiring practices as the spark. What the spark lit was the colossal mound of very dry tinder that is unexamined racism and Unitarian Universalism, both at the UUA and also all throughout our religion. As the hiring controversy emerged, the Black Lives of UU group, Blue, that has been created in the past couple of years and funded by the UUA, thought that it would be good to engage our folks at both the congregational level and at a worship level. And so last Sunday and today were identified as National UU White Supremacy Teach-In Sundays. The goal is to get all UUs to start wondering about, learning about, and invested in fighting the ways in which institutional racism exists in our UU structures. As of this morning when I checked, we have about 1,000 congregations in the country, and 685 of them are participating in these two Sundays, which is super striking and significant. Now, did I know several months ago when I agreed to come to Loudoun on May 7th that this would be the environment that we would be in? That this would be the call for this day? No, I did not. Nevertheless, we are here, and the cause could not be more important or more complex or more overdue. I hope you'll be patient with me. The best kinds of teaching and exploration of complicated subjects like racism are done in deep relationship, and you and I don't have that depth, although I do like you a lot. I don't know a lot about how your folks already feel about or approach anti-racism work. I don't know a lot about what you've done or what you've wanted to do but not known how, or what you've thought about doing and rejected. I don't know how much shame or pride you feel about racial justice work. I don't know how much pain is in this room, although I have to guess somewhere between some and a lot. I don't know when I'm stepping in something big and messy with you, or when I'm saying something interesting and innovative. I just don't know. And so much of the success, and so much of the success of the work of dismantling white supremacy comes from trust. So I'm going to ask that you give me the gift of taking what I say with a grain of salt. A grain of salt, especially because my approach this morning has been to offer food for thought. So get it, grain of salt for the food for thought. It's a wonderful metaphor. I won't be doing the work with you going forward. And so if you hear something interesting or you think, aha, that's just the thing that UCL needs right now, then please note that and plan to take it up with your leadership or your congregation later on. You're the link. You guys listening are the link needed to take your next step as a congregation. In the back, I've left a whole list of resources for you, and you can email me for an electronic copy of that or for more resources. For today, in this space, let's just let these ideas come in. If you feel strongly about one or another of them, let that feeling happen, but don't get too attached to your feelings. You are not expected to have an answer to this today. We are all figuring it out, and it is hard and messy and painful. As you probably know, UUs are quite used to quickly identifying some problem, placing ourselves in the position of being right, and then working hard to rectify the wrong. We don't like to be muddled or confused or in error. But as our opening words from Elizabeth Nguyen said, it might be true in this case that it's only when we don't know what we're doing that we're doing the real work. I sure hope that's true. So give yourself permission to do the real work. And today, that might mean being really confused, upset, angry, righteous, or any of a number of different feelings that you don't like having. I promise you that I'm right there with you, because working for the UUA in the past few months has been an immersion course in feeling feelings I don't like having. And yet at the bottom of all of those feelings for me is hope. Why hope? I have to tell you, several months before all this happened, I recognized how tired I was of being in nearly all white, politically and theologically liberal crowds who were actively conversing about why they were so white. I work in a place like that, the UUA, and I work for places like that, right? All the 27 congregations that I work for around the DC Beltway. I've been in countless congregational meetings with white folks wishing their leadership, their congregations could be more diverse, but not knowing why they weren't or what could be done. I can't say I had an answer to give. I was just sick and tired of that situation. As sick and tired as I was, our UUs of color are even more so. Our UU siblings of color do have an answer to offer about why we're so white, and it's one that I take very seriously. Our own UUs of color say that the reason why so many UU spaces are so white is because we're steeped in a culture of white supremacy. By which they mean, and I'm about to do a lot of quoting of UU Alex Capitan here, who has written on this. By white supremacy, they mean our American and UU cultures are systems or social orders that keep power and resources consolidated among white elites. Using a way of understanding the world that upholds whiteness, including white people, white cultural values, and white institutions as being best or most normal. So let me rephrase that. White supremacy in this case is this. In the understanding of what is normal or best behavior, what is right and what is wrong, we UUs, like all Americans, use white things, white culture, white institutions to decide what's best. NPR is best. Wolf Trap is best. L.L. Bean is best. Remember when I said that UUs like to decide what is right and go after what is wrong? We have an Achilles heel in that what we decide is right is often the culture and preferences of white people. And we do this because America does this. This system or social order is so normalized in the United States that it is described as the water that we all swim in without realizing that we're wet. It is the system that makes it seem like a missing white child is more of a problem than a missing black child. It's the system that makes it seem okay that using a drug like crack is morally worse than using a drug like cocaine and ought to be punished more severely. It's the system that makes it seem normal that most of the people who decide who wins an Oscar are white. It's the system that never ever asks whose skin color Band-Aids are trying to match. In this system, white is what's normal, implying that everything else isn't, and that's what makes the whiteness supreme. Whiteness is held up as more important than other groups, in the same way that a burrito supreme at Taco Bell is like a burrito, but better and fancier and with more stuff in it. You want it more because it's got all the good stuff. Alex Capitan goes on to write that part of the power of this system is that most individual white people are not conscious of it. Supporting white supremacy, this is still the quote, does not require hatred or even dislike of non-white people, nor does it require an active or conscious belief that white people are better than everyone else. The system works to keep white people at the center of what's considered normal or default without most white people even being aware of it. This part about how white folks perpetuate this system without being aware of it, that's something you and I and all UUs need to pay attention to. Because that means to me that it's understandable if we're just learning about this, but it's not excusable that we don't start to counteract it once we see it, as difficult as that will be. There's a writer on the web called Yawo Brown, and he has coined the term polite white supremacy. He jokes that polite white supremacy has been referred to as the casual American caste system, delicate apartheid, gentle oppression, or what he likes to call after a few drinks, Chad Crow, the super chill grandson of Jim Crow. He jokes, but at the end of the day, the result is the same. Polite white supremacy, he writes, is the notion that whites should remain the ruling class while denying that they are the ruling class, politely. The notion that whites should remain the ruling class while denying that they are the ruling class politely. And here we have reached a truth about Unitarian Universalism, right? I cannot imagine a single UU that would say that whites should be the ruling class. But look at our congregations. Look at our congregational leadership. Look at who works for you. White people are, in fact, the ruling class of Unitarian Universalism. We have more than our share of power and influence. And the fact that our UU siblings of color have been saying this from the beginning of Unitarian Universalism, decades, even centuries. And Unitarian Universalism, meaning the Burrito Supreme part of it, has not listened or seen it or changed, but is now surprised by it. That is the perfect example of how white supremacy works in our hearts and in our structures. So if we know this about ourselves, that Unitarian Universalism, like much of America, is steeped in white supremacy culture, what can we do? Well, I have some homework for you to tackle some white supremacy right here at home, and again in the back of the room. I have printed out, not a huge number of an article, but some copies of an article called White Supremacy Culture, which is an exercise from a workbook called Dismantling Racism, a Workbook for Social Change Groups by Kenneth Jones and Tima Okun. So I wonder, as a next step after this teach-in, if UCL would challenge itself, at least in its leadership, to look over this list of markers of white supremacy culture and at least consider whether or not these markers describe your culture. There are categories like perfectionism and sense of urgency and attachment to the written word and either-or thinking and conflict aversion that I bet most folks here never associated with white culture before. I never did. Those things probably just seem normal. That's how we do things. But what if the way we do things isn't normal, but just the dominant group's preference? And what if the preferences of the dominant group were actually keeping other groups away? Most UUs wouldn't want that to happen, for groups of different sorts of people to be kept away by our unexamined cultural norms. The best thing about the workbook exercise is that it offers antidotes to those cultural behaviors that you can look at and think about and act on. What would it be like to act differently? What's particularly challenging about change? What's to be gained? You can check it out with each other and see. I said earlier that at the bottom of all the unpleasant feelings I've had over the past couple of months, I have hope. Why is that? That's because this work matters to me. I don't want to be in white-dominated spaces anymore. I am a Unitarian Universalist. I believe our differences are important and healing. If I'm inadvertently contributing to a system that is inviting to only some people, then I need to know. That's not the world I want, and that's not the religion I want. I want something else, and I want our Unitarian Universalist success to be an example to a country and world that needs our sense of inclusion and equity. And I know you want that too. That's why this time and this work matters so much. We UUA staff are here to be with you in the midst of it. Good luck to all of us. Amen. We are singing, essentially, we are climbing Jacob's ladder next, but we have different words that are printed in your order of service. So maybe we can hear it once through so we can remember, and then we're going to sing three stanzas, first the first one, then the second one, then back to the first one. It will all make sense. We'll hear it through one time and get started. We are building up a new world. Let's don't get weary. Courage be more. Don't get weary. Though the way be long. We are building a higher world. We are building a new world. We are building.
Please remain standing while we recite the words extinguishing our chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.
Remember that the real work happens when we don't know what to do. You're doing the right thing when you come to the edge of your knowing and you try anyway. Remember, behind every triumph, there are a million messy choices. Don't get weary. You are strong. Amen.